Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. On this Thursday, November the 5th, 2020, the year of the decade. Huh? The year that is a decade. Hey, Ray Pritchard, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. The year that never ends, the gift that keeps on giving.
Good old 2020.
Good old 2020.
Yes. When they get to the end of the...
It's been a whole month this week, right? I mean, it's crazy.
A whole month this week, and then, as I said, for a lot of us, April was a year, right?
If you remember. That's right.
You remember that. Walker Wildman's here.
Good morning. Good to be on the show today.
Fred Jackson.
And good morning.
All right, Walker. Tell all those millennials out there what they need to do to log, and the baby boomers too. Tell them all.
Yeah, everyone who uses technology, which is many people now, you can listen to the show on our app. Just type in American Family Radio in your app store. You can download the app for free. And we're also on our website, afr.net. You can listen live there. So multiple ways to listen to the show.
How many we have any idea how many folks were joining us for our election night coverage?
Yeah, we had at any given time we had between six and 7,000 people viewing and listening.
No kidding.
To the coverage.
Oh, you're talking about on our website, mm-hmm. and then on the app.
That's right.
And then that doesn't include people who were tuned in on our radio stations.
Correct.
Would have been a lot more than on the app and the viewers.
Yeah, and we had over 30,000 unique viewers over the night. So some people come in and out, and you get new listeners throughout the night. So we had a good
turnout. We were pleased with that, and we got a lot of great comments from folks who joined us. Okay, folks. So we welcome you, and we're going to be here for the next hour and 23 minutes or so talking about the presidential election and other things. A lot of stuff to talk about. Fred, what's leading the news right now?
What is leading the news? Well, since last we met, Michigan, Wisconsin in Joe Biden's column. However, the legal battles have begun on various fronts. Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Georgia. The Trump legal team, Jay Sekulow, former Attorney General of Florida, Pam Bondi are leading that team. They have a number of challenges they're going after. As we have talked about in recent days, there are just what the Trump team regards as irregularities in procedure. For instance, in places like North Carolina and Pennsylvania, there's a question about continuing to count ballots that are just coming in. I think it's in Pennsylvania, where there is a latitude being given by authorities that people can come in and correct mistakes on their ballot. Correct
what?
Mistakes. Like
where is that? Where can you do that?
I believe it's Pennsylvania. I stand to be corrected on that. But
Arizona's offering the same.
Yeah.
Similar process.
So in other words,
today?
If there's yes, if there's a question about your signature, let's say, for example, you can come in and you can correct that signature to make it.
Well, that can't be very many votes.
Right.
That's okay. I'm talking. I want some big stuff here, Fred.
Some big stuff.
Yeah, I want some big. Okay. I don't know
not
if I
enough votes.
I know. I don't necessarily agree mm-hmm. with that. Although, I don't know who. I don't know how that works exactly. Don't know what the state laws are. So I'm commenting on something I don't know. But that way you described it, it's somebody signs a vote, and then they can't read it correct. I don't know. And then they call them and say, you want to come down here and re-sign it or something?
Yeah, I think the term being used is cure the ballot. I think that's
okay,
the term.
But you're talking about a minuscule number of people, right?
There's still
I can't imagine that being.
There's still hundreds of thousands
of ballots. I don't know how many end up getting corrected.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, anyway, go ahead.
All right. So there's that going on. A little bit later today, the election officials in Nevada are finally going to reveal their count. You remember they made a decision back on election day that they would continue to count ballots, but they're only going to give us the final results sometime today. In fact, I think all we know of Nevada right now is I think it's 75% of the vote. So, and there's about an 8,000 vote spread. Now, the other story unfolding today, as we've been talking about, is Arizona. You will remember, you're listening to AFR on election night, the Fox News team called Arizona early on. Well, they did that before Maricopa County and some other more conservative counties, the vote was known. And so what's happening is, and there's likely going to be a legal challenge there by the Trump team, the counting is still going on, and the margin between the two candidates, Joe Biden and Donald Trump, is very, very slim. In fact, it's about 69,000 votes with Joe Biden on top. So there is still the possibility that Arizona could switch to Donald Trump, and that would be 11 electoral votes.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia, 99% of the vote has been counted. It is still very slim there. In fact, I'll try to give you the latest results. The spread between the two candidates, it's about 20,000 votes. Again, Biden, 20,000 votes over Donald Trump, with roughly 99% of the vote in. But they are still counting there. North Carolina, about 94% of the vote being counted. Donald Trump has the lead there of, and I would say that is about 80,000 votes there. And up in Pennsylvania, as we've just been talking about, Donald Trump has a lead of about 150,000 votes, and that's with 87% of the vote counted. So the story isn't over yet. The legal challenges are being fired away by the Trump legal team.
They just, Fred, did you see where they just won in Pennsylvania, the legal challenge?
And what was the legal challenge? Yeah, there's a couple of them going on.
Being able to have poll watchers in the counting room.
Yeah.
Because Philadelphia officials, Democrat officials, have been blocking Republican poll observers really since Election Day. They weren't letting, they had them 100 feet away behind a fence.
Yes.
They're supposed to be watching the ballot counting.
Right.
And the Trump campaign just won this morning that appeal, and now they're going into the Philadelphia counting center.
It's hard to believe.
It's too late.
No, they're still counting votes. They have a couple hundred thousand votes left in Pennsylvania.
No. You misunderstand me. If they haven't been able to watch for 2 days, they haven't been able to. That's not legal. It's fine for them to say now, okay, yeah, they're right. You got to let them in. Well, they haven't been able to do their job for two days.
Right.
How many
votes
have been counted in that time period?
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
see what I'm saying? And I'm not suggesting those votes were, I don't know, but you're supposed to have a process, a legal process to follow so that the vote counting can be trusted. So Republicans and Democrats are supposed to have people be able to observe in every counting place.
Yeah.
Right? So do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have audio of one of those poll watchers showing up at one of those counting areas in Philadelphia. I'm not sure if we played this for you yesterday, but it's worth repeating based on the decision that was just made. It's cut number 8.
You're not letting me in?
Well, no.
No. That's why I tell you, call the police. Do it. If you legal, call the cops.
Call that number. Tell
them
to call somebody.
I have a citywide watcher certificate.
And it's not for this location.
No, it's not for
it. Is
this just the city of Philadelphia? This is the city of Philadelphia. This is the city of Philadelphia. This is the city of Philadelphia. You want to go talk?
Hold on.
You wanted to talk outside. Let's talk. I have a water.
All right. You stop. Now, just to explain the context there, you have a fellow who is a Republican poll watcher.
Certified.
Certified. And you, not everybody can just walk up, Walker, and say, hey, I'm here to watch the counting.
You have to be certified to be a poll watcher.
Each party prior to election night designates a certain number of people, and you have to be official.
Correct.
And this fellow's saying, hey, I'm official. I got my credentials. You're supposed to let me in. And the lady we heard there and the other fellow was saying, no, you're not getting in.
Right? That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what's happened throughout Philadelphia the past few days. And the Trump campaign won that appeal this morning, so they're going in. Yeah, late, but they're going in nonetheless because if they don't go in now, then who knows how many ballots. There's something that they're hiding. You don't refuse to let poll watchers in for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason that someone cannot come in and watch you count votes. If everybody's following the rules, then there's no reason you can't watch people count votes. There's no scandal there. I'm counting votes. If it's a Biden vote, it goes to the Biden pile. If it's a Trump vote, it goes to the Trump pile.
But, that's in Philadelphia where that just happened?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what should happen then to these ballots that were counted between Tuesday night and now?
I think they should all be every where there were not poll watchers allowed, every vote should be recounted.
That's right.
My opinion.
Okay.
And that's, I think, going to be part of the legal arguments the Trump team will now
make. That's fair.
Yeah, if you don't let observers in until 3 days late, then we do it all over again.
Yeah.
We recount everything.
Is that the
precinct?
Is that the accusation against that it's multiple? They've been treating.
No, that's in court. What's the accusation?
That they haven't allowed any.
No, that's the fact. That's why the judge is forcing the Democrats to allow Republican poll watchers in this morning.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Ray, what were you saying?
Well, just going to that point, what's going to happen to the unwatched ballots that were counted? And so really, maybe the answer is what's just been said. Go back to the beginning, recount everything. Make them account for every single vote that they put into the tally.
Yeah, and right? I don't think that's unreasonable. I think there should be repercussions to blocking poll watchers. And I'm not – so – and the repercussion, if there's not some kind of legal statute where you get a fine or jail time for blocking poll watchers, then we're just going to do a recount, which should not take but a day or two if it's just one precinct or two precincts and in the entire state.
Well, and to Walker's point, if you're not letting an observer from one party in, what are you trying to hide? I'm assuming at these precincts, Democrat watchers were allowed in. It's Republicans that weren't allowed in.
Right.
Well, that'd be interesting. Ray's question still remains, as we all have that question.
What happens?
I would probably think you would have to recount those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't the reality at the end of this, whenever we get to the end, whatever it is, that half of America is going to doubt the validity of this whole process, whether it's Trump supporters or Biden supporters, because the losing side after this mess, after you figure it out any way you want to, but when you finally get to the end, half of America is going to believe the fix was in or this vote was stolen.
Unfortunately,
I don't know a way around that.
Yeah, unfortunately, I just think that's where our country is. I mean, both sides are skeptical of each other.
Yeah.
And some have valid reasoning and others don't. Others are just skeptical just because they don't like the other candidate. But,
well, I wouldn't like that if it was a Republican block telling or somebody telling the Democrats they can't come in and watch either.
Right.
You wouldn't like
that.
We have to be able to trust, even if we don't like the outcome, our fellow citizens have the right to be wrong, just like we have the right to be right. So you got to allow a fair and a process to take place. And when you have what we just heard happening in Philadelphia, it makes people more suspicious.
Yeah.
Because, like Walker, to your point, what are you trying to hide? But that was one place in Philadelphia that a judge ruled on this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Michigan, you said Michigan and Wisconsin have been called for Joe Biden. Let me point out, first of all, that President Trump far out exceeded what was the Real Clear Politics average he was behind there going into election night, and that was like 6 to 8 points, I believe it was. Ray, wasn't that true in both those states?
Right.
In fact, going into the election night, I'd just written Wisconsin and Michigan off as Biden states because I didn't think there was any way that the president could contend there, and yet he did. The final vote tally in Wisconsin with 3 million people, basically 3.2, 3.3 million people voting. Think about this. And the vote was 20,000 difference in favor of Biden.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how President Trump won in 16, was by margins like that. You know, very, mm-hmm. very close there in Wisconsin. Michigan. Michigan, the difference was a little bit more. Of course, Michigan's a larger state population-wise, but you're talking about
150,000.
150,000 vote differential between Joe Biden and Donald Trump of roughly 5.5-6 million people. So, okay, but here's where we stand today. That is, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, and Nevada and Arizona have not been called.
No, Arizona was called election night.
Depends
for
on
Biden.
Depends on which outlet you're
using. Let me rephrase that. Arizona has been called by Fox News and the Associated Press and maybe others, but the Trump campaign and the governor of Arizona, a Republican, say not so fast. That we're still counting votes, and there is a chance that the president could win Arizona, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nevada, they decided they were going to let everybody go fishing yesterday, come back today, and start back to work after they go to Cracker Barrel for the breakfast. No, I don't know why. Nevada is it's a strange situation. They're going to wait till and make the final announcement with everything reported today.
Correct.
They're not doing like Arizona where they report as they go, right?
Right.
That's correct.
But I don't know what took so long in Nevada. Any reason why haven't been able to count?
I'm not sure, you know, and this is There's good things and bad things about having states run their own elections. The negative thing is that they can have a wide array of rules regulating each state. And so one shocking fact is that North Carolina, they've put all of their reporting on pause until the 12th. The November 12th, which is in 6 or 7 days from now. So we're not going to know North Carolina until then because they're putting everything on pause. Why they're putting everything on pause for that long, I don't know. So that just shows you. And then Florida, for example, they were done election night. They were done about 11 p.m. Eastern election night with everything.
Yeah, whatever the model is, I mean, no, the model is Florida for going forward.
Yeah.
Now, we're in a very unusual, maybe once in a century, presidential vote with the COVID situation, Ray. And
right.
so a lot of people chose to, and then you've got the heightened interest above a normal presidential campaign because of President Trump. Love him or hate him, go vote to say. Whether you want him to stay or leave, and that made it even more turnout, I think. Go ahead. So you got more people voting by mail.
Mm-hmm. And we've got a total national vote that's going to go somewhere north of 150 million, way more than voted. And Mr. Trump, regardless of whether he wins or loses ultimately, he got far more votes this time around than 4 years ago. Yeah, Biden has more of the popular vote because he gets California. Mm. But Trump is what? He's up around 70 million votes now. That's more than Hillary got 4 years ago. So this is an amazing, it's been an amazing election just from the standpoint of total number of people voting across the country. Mm-hmm. And we still don't know the winner.
Yep.
It's interesting to Ray's point. We put a story, an AP story up this morning. They haven't broken out the champagne in the Democratic Party yet. In fact, there's a lot of kind of introspective analysis going on. They, in particular, let's look at Florida. They cannot figure out how badly they lost in Florida. That's the Democratic Party. In particular, they cannot figure out how much they lost in the way of support from the Hispanic vote in Florida. And also we're getting reports of black male vote going greater percentages to Trump. So there's a, the story that I read this morning from AP on Florida in particular, they actually blame Joe Biden for being the almost invisible candidate. You know, Joe Biden doing all these virtual rallies.
Yeah.
How you do a virtual rally is beyond me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when he did go, it was too much too late. And Kamala Harris, you know, they had the seven cars show up at the rally. So they're saying, you know, the visibility of their candidate, they paid a price for that. But I think the reality is when the analysis is done, and we'll stay with Florida on this, is that President Trump, what he stood for, what he stands for, resonated with the Cuban population, Puerto Ricans in Florida, and that's why that Latino vote was so strong for him. And there's also a belief that there is a switch going on with regards to party loyalty in this country, and that President Trump has introduced a new way for the Republican Party to appeal to a more grassroots electorate. Mm-hmm. And there was a demonstration of the success of that plan in Florida on Tuesday night. So there's a lot to be written, a lot to be looked at, and the Democrats understand that coming out of this election. They may get the White House, but they lost a lot of support in key areas.
Mm-hmm. Well, by the way, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net. Join us online at Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. Yeah, I wanted to talk about some of this in the next half hour, but let's just assume for a moment, and I know that the race has not been called yet, but let's just assume for a moment that Joe Biden ends up winning. It's going to be Welcome to Your Nightmare.
Yes.
Huh? To borrow from Alice Cooper from the 70s. For those who remember that. It really is, because the Senate is going to stay in the Republicans' hands by a 52-48 margin, it appears, after record spending by the Democrats in Hollywood to take out senators, Republican senators all across the country. It didn't work.
Nope.
It didn't work. And so, and Nancy Pelosi, the Republicans gained 10 seats on her, I think. Was it 10 seats? So it's
at least seven.
It's a very narrow margin over there in the House. And now, so it was not a good night at all for the Democrats. They may yet end up winning the presidency, Walker.
Sure.
But Joe Biden, like Donald Trump, like Barack Obama, they're not going to be able to do squat, to use a Mississippi word, legislatively, except what can be passed on a bipartisan basis.
Right.
Because
it's going to be an interesting dynamic.
So packing the Supreme Court for the Democrats, you can kiss that one goodbye.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Changing the filibuster rules, kiss that one goodbye.
Yeah.
So adding D.C. and Puerto Rico as states, you can kiss that one goodbye.
Yep.
Because the Republicans have 52 votes in the Senate, and that stops anything the liberals want to do legislatively. We'll be back in a minute.
Trivia Friday.
Star Trek question. What powers
The impulse drive.
Dilithium crystals?
My second cousin twice removed was on dilithium crystals. And every time when everybody's sitting around trying to have some peace and quiet, his arm would fly up in the air. You didn't know if he was trying to salute you or get somebody's attention.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central.
And two different times when he tried to say something, the garage door went up and down.
On American Family Radio.
Random.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, we've announced our dates for our Spiritual Heritage Tours for 2021. We'll be going in June and we'll be going in September. And folks are already signing up for these wonderful Christian heritage experiences. Now, we're going to be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Wow. The history there is phenomenal. You're going to see so much when we visit those three sites. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. and George Washington's Mount Vernon. These are two separate tours, but they're back-to-back in case you want to do both of them. So, again, those are in June and September 2021. People are already signing up. So if you want to be a part of these, the information is available to you at spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com. Everything's there.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. For much of the election cycle, supporters of President Trump jeered CNN, heckling reporters at campaign events. But the other night, the president's supporters turned their wrath on Fox News Channel, chanting shame on Fox outside a building in Maricopa County, Arizona. Angry over the network's decision on election night to call Arizona for Joe Biden, a decision that appears to be premature. Longtime viewers are angry about the network's lurch to the left, from the hirings of leftists like Marie Harf and Donna Brazile to registered Democrat Chris Wallace's debate debacle. And there has been a purging of conservatives from the building, including yours truly. Not so much fair and balanced as it is CNN light. Their slogan used to be, "We report, you decide." But after what happened on election night, Fox News should consider reworking that slogan, "They report, they decide." I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody. Tim with Walker, Fred, and Ray. Thanks for listening to American Family Radio. Real quickly, to finish my thought there before we went to the break, I said if Joe Biden ends up winning the presidency, it's going to be a nightmare for him, because he's not going to be able to do anything legislatively, and we've been like this for 10 years in America. Very little is done legislatively because of the divided Congress. The Republicans have 52 votes in the Senate. That's going to block anything that the Democrats want to do of any consequence. Now, unless they were able to pull off some Republican votes. So that's one thing. Now, I don't want by any means, though, to diminish the power that the presidency has with respect to controlling the executive branch of the federal government.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. And Joe Biden would be able to appoint, for instance, federal judges, including Supreme Court justices, should openings become available while he's in office. But that's just one aspect. So that's a good and a bad for whoever the president would be in terms of what they'll be able to, quote, accomplish. Now, but the nightmare for Joe Biden is going to be his own party, because they've been supporting him. By they, I mean these quote progressives on the left, and in the name of beating Donald the devil, right? Well, if Donald the devil is out of the mix, then what you do, the AOC, the Bernie Sanders, they've added 4 or 5 members to their squad as of Tuesday night. So the energy on the left, on the far left, those people are not going to be very tolerant of Joe Biden if they don't think he's on their team enough. See what I'm saying?
Right.
So when Joe Biden says things like he did yesterday, I want to be the president. I didn't hear the whole talk, but I want to be the president for Republicans and Democrats if he's elected. That's what he said yesterday, right? I think that's not going to cut it for the far left. They don't want to, that kind of tone.
Right.
I'm saying is not good. They're not going to agree with that. And so they're going to come at, it's going to be the knives are coming out in the Democratic Party for a civil war there if Biden is elected.
Yeah, because they're
going to. You agree with that?
Yeah, the left wing of the party is going to, this is going to be their way of thinking. Biden, we just helped you get in the White House.
Yes.
Should he get in the White House? We just helped you get in the White House, and we toned down our rhetoric for the past few months. And so now it's your turn. It's your turn to step up to the plate and get our radical agenda.
So we get to approve every cabinet position you have.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And if Biden says, no, you don't, because I won, and so I'm not going to put some Bernie Sanders in charge of the Treasury.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Then the left's going to say, oh, yeah, you are. So it's going to be ugly on the other side. So, Ray, any thoughts on what I've just laid out there is, Joe Biden's potential nightmare, should he be elected?
Well, number one, you're 100% right about what's going to happen on the left, which is, I mean, Kamala and the others, they're not going to go with, you know, Uncle Joe saying, I want to play nice. That's not going to cut it with them. On the other side, Republicans aren't going to buy it either, because in this, the way things are playing out now, this goes back to the point earlier, Tim, that if Biden becomes the president, Republicans are not going to feel like it was done in an honest or legitimate matter. It's going to be open warfare for the next 4 years up in Washington, and I think in some ways around the country.
Well, and don't forget, the Republicans under Donald Trump ran on an anti-socialist agenda. So
right.
All of a sudden, all of those millions of people who voted for Donald Trump aren't going to buy into socialism.
Right.
On top of all of that, if Joe Biden does become president, I'm anxious to see how he ends the pandemic. What's he going to do about that?
Yeah, and remember,
executive order.
Yeah, and remember that Senator Harris and I think Joe Biden himself have undermined or spoken negatively of the vaccine being developed under the current Trump administration.
Yes,
right.
Saying, you know, we're not going
to Trump vaccine.
Yeah,
the Trump vaccine.
If Trump develops it, we're not taking it. And
like he's got a white coat down. White coat on with goggles down to the basement of the White House cooking up a vaccine.
Yeah.
I don't, that just sounded so nutty,
right,
when Kamala Harris said that. You talk about somebody that Biden's going to have to watch, and this is what hurts when you've seen your better years, and that is, I think she's going to be, I think you better watch her. Because she's on the other team. She's on the AOC team.
Yes.
She's not on the Biden team.
Right.
Okay. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ideologically.
Sure. So she's going to be vying for that.
You better watch who's down over there in the old executive office.
Well, she's going to be a lot more activist against Biden than Mike Pence ever has been toward Donald Trump.
Oh, gracious, yes.
And it may not be visible. It may be under the surface.
Sure.
But... Hey, Jan Markell joins us now from Twin Cities, as she does most Thursdays. Jan is the president and founder of Olive Tree Ministries, and she's also heard on the radio program Understanding the Times each weekend here on AFR. Good morning, Jan.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Nice to be with you.
Our topic for you today is whatever you want to talk about. So the floor is yours, Jan. Go.
I don't think we have anything to talk about.
Recipes, gardening tips, how to ice fish, maybe.
I can talk about my cats.
Okay. Go. But do you have your thoughts on the election?
Stunning. We were hoping for a redder Minnesota. Didn't happen. I personally was a little skeptical that that could happen, having been a lifetime resident of Minnesota and knowing that it's just been a kind of a socialist state for almost forever. So anyway, it did not do anything stunning at all on Tuesday night, and that is disappointing. But you know, the whole panorama is pretty disappointing. And listening to you gentlemen, and quite frankly to Todd Starnes' little clip there, I mean, we're just in very, very stunning and interesting times.
Yeah, we're still in the ninth inning, though, and
yes,
there's still a possibility that President Trump could end up winning the White House a re-election, but that remains to be seen. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Jan about some data that came out from the Associated Press VoteCast in the last 24 hours, and that is looking at the Jewish vote in the United States. There was a 6% increase in Jews who support a Republican, in this case Donald Trump, over 2016. So would you attribute that to, for instance, his moving of the United States Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, or does it go beyond that?
Well, if I could, clarify just a little, and that is that the Orthodox Jewish vote went up substantially this year. And let's remember that a lot of Orthodox Jews have biblical values. After all, they believe in the Bible, which your secular Jew does not really care about biblical values, but the Orthodox do. And so they increased, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know it was substantial between 2016 and 2020, and it may, that difference may all be made up in those folks, but if there were any others, it would be, Fred, because of what you said. I think it just takes some logical thinking to see that Donald Trump is a friend of Israel. The problem is with secular Jews, they don't care that all that much about Israel. That's why you have to rely on the Orthodox, who do care about Israel because of their biblical values. So, yeah, but I think you probably analyzed it right there.
It was interesting, too, just before the election day, there was a big pro-Trump demonstration by Hasidic Jews in New York City.
Right.
They are not happy with de Blasio and Governor Cuomo there with the restrictions that have been put on that community. So it was kind of interesting to see these Hasidic Jews with Trump signs and their demonstration in front of, in support of Trump.
Yeah, well, again, this, you know, 2020 is the year of whoever would have thought it could happen in every regard, pandemic and politics and you name it. So right now, at this point in time, absolutely nothing surprises me. I think the biggest thing that concerns me is what's next. I mean, I think God is sending a message to to America and even the world. Because for one thing, our elections affect the whole world. Look how this could affect Israel, for instance. They could go back, I mean, the world could go back to the nuclear Iran nuclear deal, which is a catastrophe for the whole world, which Donald Trump put the skids on, as well as, you know, this climate issue and all, lots of things. But just taking Israel just alone, I can guarantee you a lot of Israelis, and by the way, Israel is 70% to 80% pro-Trump. I guarantee you they're shaking in their boots over there as to what's going on right now in America. So what happens here affects 200 countries in the world. It's not really just a local issue.
Yeah, and let me just tell you, these folks on the far left and the Democrat Party, I keep saying far left, they're becoming the majority of the Democrat Party, if they're not already. So, but they are anti-Israel. Okay,
yeah. Absolutely.
And they're more than that. They're hostile.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's why I say, I mean, our relationship right now with Israel is It's tenuous. I mean, it's wonderful under Donald Trump. I'm not the least bit worried about it. But honestly, if this changes, and then if you follow Genesis 12:3, I'll bless those who bless Israel, I'll curse those who curse her. If we're going back into the cursing mode, a la Biden, Obama, then we've got some real potential problems in America. It's slam dunk, no brainer. We're going to hit the wall somehow.
A lot will depend on if Biden wins. A lot will depend on who he appoints as his Secretary of State and other things in terms of our relationship with Israel.
I just don't trust his judgment. Look at his vice president.
I know. No, I agree with you. But let me and there, this will be part, perhaps could be part of the civil war within the Democratic Party, because and please understand how I say this, folks. Joe Biden is a lifelong liberal. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, that's his record. Mm-hmm. But he's not been a whacked out liberal progressive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The question outstanding is how far does he go?
Yes.
Yeah. How far left does he go?
Joe Biden has been a traditional liberal, is what I'm saying to you, and so, which those people have been. I don't know. Is this fair to say? The people in that camp have had a good relationship with Israeli leaders. Is that? I'm talking about the traditional Biden wing of the Democrat Party.
Probably, but again, they're pro-Iranian nuclear deal and things like that, which is lunacy.
Yeah,
I know, but what I'm saying, he's going to be pushed by the Israel haters. Joe Biden doesn't hate Israel. But he'll be pushed by the Israel haters.
He'll be pushed by, look, Ilhan Omar up here in Minnesota. Yes. He'll be pushed by the squad, and he'll come under their pressure and their thumb, and they have power. I mean, let's be blunt, they've got the power today.
Yeah, in the House. Your mic's off. And they've got in the House, and then they have the energy in the Democrat Party. Hey, Jan.
Yeah, they have the energy. You bet they do.
Yeah, thanks, Jan.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Take care. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
That's our good friend Jan Markell. Listen to her show this weekend on Saturday. She's very popular with our AFR listeners. Jan will be on Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. Saturday at 1 o'clock Central?
Yeah, Sunday at noon.
Sunday at noon Central on American Family Radio.
You got it.
Tim here with Walker and Fred and also Ray. We thank you for listening. Alex is with us now, Dr. Alex McFarland. Heard on Exploring the Word each Thursday, each weekday. He'll be on today, Thursday, each weekday afternoon from 3 to 4 o'clock Central Time with Brother Bert Harper as they study the Word of God, that is the Bible, live radio where they study the Scriptures and help you understand them. How you doing, Alex?
Well, I'm doing good. It's good to be with you.
North Carolina.
God save America.
What in the world? You live in North Carolina. What in the world's taking so long to finish things up?
Well, the Board of Elections is populated entirely by Democrats.
Yep.
And I don't know if people know this, but in North Carolina, just a few weeks ago, the Board of Elections arbitrarily, just out of nowhere, said, hey, as long as a ballot is postmarked by November 3rd, we have up to November 12th to count the ballots. Now, who's providing oversight and watching that? Nobody but the Democrat-led Board of Elections. And so we don't know till November 12th what they're counting, where they're getting them. But and there are a number of Democrat candidates that helped appoint the fully populated Democrat Board of Elections. So we're just having a real honest election down here in the Charleston State.
Okay.
I will say this. It was my privilege. I spoke with a congressman yesterday who wishes to remain anonymous, but I did have a long conversation with a congressman who said they know of voter fraud around the country. But you know what? Listen, hey, my king is Jesus, and he's on his throne. But I will say this. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, and I'm a preacher, so I'm going to preach. I think for five decades, we in America have drifted from God, and we've sown to the wind, and we're reaping a whirlwind.
More encouraging words from
yes.
from Alex McFarland today.
I mean, I hate to say lying, it, but we got to repent and pray.
Lying, cheating, and God's wrath. That's what Alex has to share with us today. I'm just teasing, folks. Alex is talking Bible right there. Ray, you have a question for Alex?
You know, I've just been, this is rolling through my mind to ask Alex. Right now, nobody knows the final result, but let's suppose Mr. Biden comes through, he becomes the president. We were saying last week, everybody was saying last week, this is the most important election in history, not just in our lifetime, but I mean, things were said about how much it meant, what was really at stake here. As evangelical Christians, how do we come to grips? How we come to grips with this if it ends up that Biden is in the White House? Given how deeply we disagree on policy, theology, direction, worldview, the whole thing, how are we going to do that, Alex?
Well, great question. You know, I think for one thing, we have to stay hopeful and positive and upbeat. And, you know, biblical Israel is our model. I mean, my goodness, they fell into multiple enslavements and all sorts of paganism and backsliddenness, and God would redeem Israel. And even, you know, 1,900 years after they dissolved as a nation, God reconstituted Israel. So I think we need to stay very prayerful, stay very upbeat, and realize, I mean, this is an opportunity. Hey, the economy is going to tank. I mean, with the Green New Deal and all this taxation and implementing socialism, we are in for some hard times. If Biden and Harris and AOC and the Squad and Bernie Sanders, I mean, this is going to be Barack Obama 2.0. So
yeah, but they don't have the Senate, so they're not going to be overturned the Trump tax cuts, which is what set the economy going.
Yeah, that's true. But even so, I mean, policies cost money. Policies cost money. And while the tax cuts might remain in place, the spending is going to be a net negative. It really is.
Yeah.
But Isaiah 55 says, you know, let the wicked man forsake his way, return to the Lord, and he will abundantly pardon. So in a way, we have an opportunity, and I just mm-hmm. want to encourage Christians, conservatives, we've got to be in this for the long haul. Marxists go into nations with a 100-year-long plan, and we know Christ is coming back, and we're going to see Jesus soon.
Yeah.
We are.
Well,
let's be in it for the long haul.
Excuse me. Amen, brother. And what we're trying to do here, you know, if you step back and look at the big picture here, we as American Christians are trying to save our republic.
Yes.
We're trying to save our republic. The God haters, many of them, the secular progressives, and they are God haters, a lot of them, and they'll tell you that. They mock God and his people and his word. But a lot of them don't, and they're just ignorant of where, or they don't know where this ends up. But let me just say this. Our job, what we're trying to do here, the big picture that is generational, you know,
we'll good word.
We'll pass through. And we've been here 200 how many years, the U.S.?
42. Yeah. So 43.
Then Walker's generation comes along. And then, I mean, this is perpetual. It's ongoing. But we're trying to preserve what our founding fathers gave us. And that is a free land. And a land of liberty, a land of opportunity, a land where you're rewarded for your hard work and the things that you invest in, self-determination, you know, not have centralized government, but have local government, have more control in people's. And the government to have little control at all, as much as only what's necessary. So we're the land of opportunity, and we stand for freedom and human rights, and that's being challenged by the secular leftists who want to take us to the European model of big government, heavy-handed control. Some would say more than European model. They want to go to the Venezuelan model. But I'm just saying that's what's at stake here. So you're right, Alex. We do take the long view. And I've told people before, with politics, you never – the game is, if you want to put that analogy to it, doesn't have a clock. You know,
amen.
There's no end to it. It's going to go on, and Walker's generation is going to come behind us, and they're going to have to be standing up for the freedoms and liberties. And it's a different world. In yesterday's world, Republicans and Democrats both believed in American values and respected and revered our founders and our Constitution and what they gave us. That's no longer the truth. 50% of the country I would call patriots. The other 50% I would call people who are either lost, don't know what they think. Socialism sounds good because it's free money for everybody. Who wouldn't want that? So they don't understand what it takes to preserve freedom and liberty. Mm. And so there's your sermonette there. Alex, what are you and Bert going to be talking about?
Well, today we finish up the book of Jude, little short book in the New Testament, but very powerful. And then, of course, on Friday, we have all live questions for a whole hour, Fire Away Friday, and that's Exploring the Word, heard 4 to 5 Eastern, 3 to 4 Central, and all across America.
So you take live questions, Bible questions, tomorrow.
We do. I say this, if you've ever wanted to raise your hand during a sermon, here's your chance.
Here's your chance. Is this where Bert goes, Alex, over to you?
Well, we do that back and forth sometimes.
Okay. When you don't want to answer, you pitch it back to Bert. Bert, what do you think about that?
I'll say, take it away, Bert.
Yeah, take it away, Bert. No, y'all do a great job, and we're just excited to have you part of our team. Bert's here in Tupelo. Alex is in North Carolina. And,
hey, let me say this. We've got great listeners in Orlando, and this Sunday morning through Tuesday night, I'll be at Liberty Baptist Church in Orlando, Florida. Pastor Vern Murray, they invited me down, and they are faithful listeners to Exploring the Word and all the great AFR programming.
Well, they listen on the app then, I guess.
Yeah,
We have a station in Jacksonville. I don't know if I doubt they get that in Orlando. All right, thanks, Bert. Talk to you later, buddy.
God bless you guys. Thanks.
Okay. Brad, you got a minute or so. You got anything you want to
wrap up? Yeah, I find it kind of interesting. We didn't really get time to talk about this but last night in Portland, Oregon, not a bastion of conservatism, Oregon easily went for
not a bastion of sanity. But anyway, go ahead.
Joe Biden, easily won in Oregon. Mm-hmm. But there were more riots in the street last night. They have a far-left mayor in Portland, Oregon. They have a far-left governor in Oregon. They voted for Joe Biden. My big question, if I ever get a chance to talk to these anti-everything, why are you still tearing up the streets of Portland, Oregon?
Yeah.
Why are you still breaking into businesses? Why are you still attacking police officers?
Yeah, that's to your point, Fred. That's baffling. They are run by a bunch of left wing. They make Joe Biden look conservative. What they do in Oregon,
I know.
True. And there's Antifa still burning it down. And this is the problem Joe Biden is going to face on a national level.
Right.
Is they want the full destruction of our democracy, and until it's done, they're going to keep fighting, and that means fighting their own party.
Yeah, I want to see when Joe Biden goes out there, if he's president, and say, here, put a mask on.
You mean right. to the
rioters?
To the rioters?
Yeah, I'm okay with the riot, but put a mask on.
It is insane. The liberal the rioters are tearing down their own progressive cities.
Yes.
Crazy.
Doesn't make any sense. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.